Lord God, we thank you for these few minutes in the middle of the day to pause, to reflect on your word together. We thank you for Jesus and thank you that he is the light of the world. And we pray that you would convince us of the truth of this, help us to understand what it means and the difference it should make in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to read one verse to start off with on page 21. So when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then the next passage is actually over in the next chapter, chapter 9. So either follow on the sheet or it's on page 24. "As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It wasn't that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,' which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing." And then down in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." Sometimes people talk about feeling like a mushroom in the workplace. I don't know if you've come across this, but I think the basic idea is that you're kept in the dark and occasionally have some manure thrown over you. And I've no idea whether that's an accurate description of mushroom cultivation, but it does seem to be a common enough experience at work. I mean, people even refer to, now apparently they refer to mushroom management, where managers just don't tell you what on earth's going on in the company, and you're given work to do without having a clue what the purpose of it is, and you're kept in the dark. But feeling like a mushroom is not just a problem at work. It's a problem in life. Have you ever felt like you're being kept in the dark in life? That the management are not really telling you what on earth is going on in life? I mean, we get on with it, don't we? We eat, we work, we sleep, we go on holiday, we retire, we die. But what's the big picture? You know, what's the meaning of it all? Where have we come from? Where are we going? What's the point? Who am I? What is right and wrong? We're in the dark with some manure occasionally thrown over us when things go wrong in life. Now, if you feel like a mushroom at work, I guess you can go and speak to your manager about it, or you can go to HR, or you can get a different job. But where do you go if you feel like a mushroom in life? Well, Jesus said, John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You in the dark? Jesus is the light. But what exactly does he mean? And what if I say, well, I don't actually feel like a mushroom in life, thank you very much. You know, what if I don't feel in the dark in life? What relevance is Jesus to me then as the light of the world? In this series, we're looking at these claims that Jesus made about himself, recorded in John's eyewitness account, free for you to take away. And each of these sayings begins with, "I am." So last week we looked at Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." And we saw what that meant. And today we're looking at Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." So someone might say, you know, why should I bother with Jesus? What possible relevance has Jesus got to my life? What can he do for me? In reply, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, what does he mean? We're going to look at two things very simply on the sheet there. Firstly, we are in the dark. Secondly, Jesus is the light. So firstly, we're in the dark. Jesus being the light in the darkness is not just the theme of 8 verse 12, this key verse, but it's actually the theme of the whole of chapter 9. Some of the bits I read from that, but it's the whole of chapter 9. So if you have a look at 9 verse 5, either on the sheet or in the booklet, 9:5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But look at how that chapter begins. So chapter 9 begins in verse 1. As he, Jesus, passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He saw a man blind from birth. So this blind man was begging, presumably by the side of the road, as Jesus walked by. Now, that isn't something you see very often in this country. When you hear blind beggar, you probably immediately think of the Blind Beggar pub. You know, Whitechapel, one of those famous East End pubs where gangster Ronnie Cray shot George Cornell back in 1966. But the blind beggar by the roadside, I mean, that is sadly all too common in other countries, in poorer countries. And it's not hard to imagine how awful life must have been for this guy. So a life lived in the dark, totally dependent on other people because he was blind. And imagine yourself in that situation. Imagine being blind from birth, unable to see your wife or husband if you're married, or see your children if you've got them. Unable to see the beauty of a flower, never seen the beauty of a sunset. Not able to watch the beautiful game over the next few weeks on TV. Must be awful. Remember one Christmas time, I joined a little group who were going carol singing in our sort of local village where my parents lived. And we went and visited this one elderly widow who was blind. And I can remember us all filing in. It was a dark, cold winter night. And we filed in through the front door into her living room where this blind elderly widow was sitting in the dark. Because she was blind. She didn't need to have the lights on. It was quite an eerie experience. Like a double darkness. She was in the dark because she was blind, and she was sitting in a dark room. It's very sad, but it's also very relevant. Because blindness is a picture of the human condition. Blindness is a picture of the human condition. You see, according to the WHO, there are 36 million people in the world today who are blind. But according to the Bible, the 7.6 billion people alive on the planet today were all born blind. Every single one of them. Blind from birth. Not physically, but spiritually. This blind beggar Jesus met sitting by the roadside, sitting in the dark because he was blind. He was physically blind, and we may pity him. But the Bible is saying, that's you, that is. That's you. That's your spiritual condition. You are blind from birth. You are in the dark. This idea, this darkness theme, runs all the way through John's Gospel. You find it, first of all, in chapter 1, verse 5, where the book begins in 1:5 by describing the whole world as a dark place. In 1:5 it says this, the light, that is Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Speaking about a spiritual darkness, a moral darkness, that although we were made for God, by God, we've gone our own way as a human race. We've rejected his loving rule. And because of this, the world has been plunged into this darkness, spiritual darkness. So God is light. And having rejected him, we find ourselves on the wrong side of him, alienated from him, in the dark, spiritually. Now, what this feels like on the ground in experience will vary from person to person. Some people become aware of this spiritual darkness when they realize they don't have satisfying answers to the big questions of life. So a couple of guys to mention who you can read about in that book you can take for free, City Lives. So one man runs his own company. He said this. He was in the gym on the treadmill, and I suddenly realized I'm 49, I'm on the treadmill of life, and I haven't got a clue where I'm going. I need answers. There's probably some good stuff in the Bible, so it's time I looked at it. For another company chairman, he explained, I was on my knees gardening at the weekend, and it suddenly struck me that I've lost 2 friends to cancer, 1 friend to a heart attack, another to a brain aneurysm, all in the last year. I'm 62, and I haven't got a clue what I believe. And it was the beginning for him of reading the Bible with a Christian friend to find out more. Jesus describes this experience of being in the dark spiritually in two ways. Firstly, he says, and this is in chapter 11, verse 10, firstly, he says this, If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles. So, you know, if it's dark, you can't see where you're going, what happens? You stumble, you bump into things, you hurt yourself. I mean, I have lost count of the number of times I've whacked my shins on that very pointy sort of edge of the bed bit when I've got up in the middle of the night to do something and then put the light on. Extremely painful. Or maybe you've had the experience of walking in the dark at night through some woods along some path and you can't see where you're going and, you know, what do? You stumble. You twist your ankle, fall flat on your face. It's very hard to walk safely and properly in the dark. Being spiritually in the dark, we stumble. We don't think as we should. We don't live as we should. We don't live to please God. We live to please ourselves. We don't love God. We don't love other people as we are created to do. Our hearts and our lives are darkened. We're spiritually blind. So that's the first way Jesus talks about it. The other way he describes it is in chapter 12, verse 35. He says, the one who walks in the darkness, in 12:35, the one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. Doesn't know where he's going. That ever happened to you? You got lost in the dark? Confused? Disorientated? Life apart from God is like that. We don't know where we're going. We've got no ultimate direction, got no map to guide us, no signposts, just wandering through life. Remember once being down in the tube at Bank Station, and I saw this blind man who was standing at one of those intersections of the corridors, and it was just complete mayhem. This guy was standing in the middle, and there's hustle and bustle, it was rush hour, complete chaos, lots of noise. And this poor guy was standing there, this blind guy, turning this way and that. He was clearly completely disorientated, having a clue where he was, which way he was supposed to go. Disorientated, lost, vulnerable. And thankfully, some kind person went up to them and helped this guy find his way out. But being spiritually blind is like that. You don't know where you're going in life. And sure, you may set yourself some goals to be happy, to achieve this or that at work, whatever. But when it comes to sort of ultimate direction, you're in the dark. Now, I don't know if you can relate to any of that at all, but that is how Jesus describes the human condition apart from God. We're in the dark. We're spiritually blind from birth because of our rejection of God, and we are in the dark in our thinking and in our living. But this present darkness is not our biggest problem. This present darkness is not our biggest problem. Jesus warned about a future ultimate darkness. It's what he referred to as the outer darkness, where he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of ultimate alienation from God. A place of final separation from the light of his goodness. A place that Jesus himself called hell. Now that is what we're stumbling towards, like blind people stumbling towards a cliff edge. Last week when we looked at chapter 6, Jesus, the bread of life, in that passage it talked about the hard sayings of Jesus. Well, this is definitely one of them, isn't it? What Jesus teaches about eternity. But God is just. He is just. He will judge. And so however we feel life is going for us at the moment, even if we think life's pretty good, this is the problem that lies ahead. Present darkness, ultimate darkness, what's the solution? 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus has come to rescue us from the darkness, both the present darkness and the ultimate darkness. He's the light of the world, he says, and if we follow him, we will enjoy the light of life, both now and in eternity. When Jesus hung on the cross, when he was crucified, in the middle of the day, so 3 hours into it, in the middle of the day at noontime, we read that suddenly darkness covered the whole land for 3 hours. Jesus, the light of the world, was dying in our place. He was experiencing the darkness that we have caused by our wrongdoing, our sin, and he absorbed that darkness in himself. He paid the penalty that we deserve. And then he was raised to life and he burst out of the darkness of the tomb as the risen Lord of life. And as the risen Lord, he is the light of the world. Well, he says, if we follow him, we will enjoy the light of life. So no longer stumbling in the dark, but walking tall in the light, forgiven by God, knowing God, children of God, knowing how to live in a way that pleases God and enabled by his Spirit to actually start living that way, knowing where we're going, a clear sense of purpose and direction in life, living for God, serving him, and heading for eternity with him in the kingdom of light. Now, that is what Jesus, as the light of the world, can do for us. Or so he claimed. How do we know that Jesus can deliver? Well, because of what happened to the blind man in chapter 9. So there in 9 verse 5, chapter 9, 5, Jesus says, in this incident of the blind man, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. We read that he then makes some mud. He puts it on the blind man's eyes. He tells him to go and wash. And verse 7 of chapter 9 says, so he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Jesus healed him. Jesus opened his blind eyes. And what he did physically for that man, he can do spiritually for any of us. That's the point of the miracle. The miracle is evidence, it is proof that he really is the light of the world. Now that change from darkness to light, which that man experienced physically all those years ago, countless people have experienced spiritually since then. Light flooding into the darkness of their lives. Yeah, you may have come across that book, Unbroken, or maybe seen the film, tells the life story of that guy, Louis Zamperini. During World War II, his plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean, survived 47 days adrift in a lifeboat. He then had two very brutal years as a Japanese prisoner of war, and he then returned home. He returned home a hero. But his hatred of one of his former captors in that POW camp, his hatred of one of his former captors took hold of him, and his life spiraled downwards in reckless behavior and drunkenness. And he ended up believing that his only hope lay in murder. So his life was in deep, deep darkness. But then suddenly his life was transformed. And it was like switching on the light, that the darkness was flooded with light. Joy replaced anger in his heart. He freely forgave his former captors. A new life began. His marriage was saved. He was a faithful husband, and he died back in 2014 at the grand old age of 97. What had happened? What brought about that change? Well, in 1949, the evangelist Billy Graham came to LA, to Los Angeles. And very reluctantly, Louis went along, and he heard about Jesus. And this is his account of what happened. I dropped to my knees, and for the first time in my life, I truly humbled myself before the Lord. I asked him to forgive me for my sinful life. I made no excuses. He had said, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I took him at his word. I begged for his pardon. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. That's what happened. That following Jesus, Jesus coming into his life, it brought him out of darkness into light. Now, the response Jesus calls for from us is very simple, but it's life-changing, isn't it, as that guy Zamperini found. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So, not follow him on Twitter or Facebook, of course, but believe in him, trust in him, live for him. As Jesus says in John 12:46, he says, I've come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, it's a staggering promise. It's a wonderful promise. We might say, well, you know, what's not to like in that? But many at the time didn't like it at all. In the news recently, there was a report about something called the London Project to Cure Blindness. And there are these two London professors who have made a breakthrough. And they reckon that they're going to have a cure for the most common cause of blindness within 5 years. Now, if these guys pull that off, those two professors are going to be heroes, aren't they? They're going to have statues made of them. But the response to Jesus healing a man blind from birth was vicious. It was vicious, not celebration, but confrontation. And that's really what chapter 9 is all about. That the rest of the chapter describes the hostility of the religious leaders, the Pharisees. So they get this guy, this beggar, who had been blind, and they interrogate the guy repeatedly. And they just won't accept his account of what's happened. And so they drag in this guy's parents and they interrogate them. And still they won't believe. And they end up throwing this blind guy, or formerly blind guy, out of the synagogue. And they plot to kill Jesus. And you think, what? You know, what on earth is going on? You know, why does such a patently good deed by Jesus, why does it provoke such hostility? Well, it's not just back then, is it? There's a young guy in our Sunday church on the barge. He's getting baptized a week on Sunday. He's been doing the Christianity Explored course, has come to follow Jesus for himself. He's going to get baptized. And he was just saying last week in the group that he was quite taken aback by the reaction of his friends who are not Christian, colleagues. When he told them he started going to church, they said, what? You? You're out of your mind. And when he told them he's going to get baptized, one of them said, you need to start drinking more. Because he could go out drinking with these guys. Now, why such hostility to Jesus, both then and today? Jesus tells us, John's Gospel tells us back in chapter 3, verse 19. This isn't on your sheet, but let me read it, or you can turn to it. 3:19, page 7. He says, light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Strong, isn't it? He hates the light. And doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Well, that's it. It's saying, you know, we know God is there. We should be living for him, not for ourselves. We know that. We know we're doing wrong. We know we're not living as we should. Unlike kids who hide in the dark, when they've done something naughty, because we don't want to be found out, exposed. We're like that. And so we run away from the light. We're a bit like burglars who are staying in the shadows trying to evade the searchlight from the police helicopter that's hovering overhead. The light is threatening to a world on the run from God. We hate the light, that says. You'll have had that experience of being at home on a Saturday and you thought your windows in the living room were pretty clean, and then it's one of those rare days when the sun comes out. And you suddenly think, oh my word, these windows are filthy. And so we may think we're pretty good as people, but then the light of Christ shines and exposes the dirt in our lives and we don't like it. We run away. Now, however uncomfortable that exposure of our lives may be, it is for our good, because the light that exposes is the same light that brings healing and cleansing and new life. If we reject this light, we will stay in the dark both now and eternally. So for those who reject Jesus, Jesus is the light. He's like a sort of super bright light that blinds you. It's a bit like looking at the sun through a telescope. Not a very clever thing to do. Not a clever thing to do with the sun. Not a clever thing to do with the Son of God if we reject him. He will blind it. So look at the warning there in chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus says, for judgment I came into this world, that those who don't see may see, like that blind man. And he says that those who see may become blind. That those who see may become blind. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, they were such people. They were category 2 people there. That they wouldn't accept they had a problem. That they were spiritually blind. They thought they could see already. And so they took offense at Jesus. And they say in chapter 9, verse 40, are we blind? See, they're outraged, they protest. And so in judgment, they were plunged into even greater darkness. They became even blinder, if that's possible. Blinded by the light. As Jesus says there in verse 41 of chapter 9, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Many people today are like the Pharisees back then, aren't they? They reject the diagnosis. They take offence at Jesus. They won't accept that they're spiritually blind and in the dark. They think they see already. They think they're already enlightened. The 18th century movement in Europe, which championed reason as being the solution to all our problems, was called the Enlightenment, wasn't it? The Enlightenment. And its attitudes live on today. People saying, well, you know, I'm intelligent, I'm educated, I can work things out for myself, I can find my own solutions, humanity can sort itself out unaided, thank you very much. Or other people claim to have found enlightenment through other philosophies, meditation, Eastern mysticism, looking within yourself. But Jesus here is saying, if we reject him, we are condemning ourselves to staying in the dark, both now and in eternity. And that is not what he wants. But the choice that he's putting before us is very stark. It is black and white. It is darkness and light. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, I'm going to pray for us, and then it's over to you for any questions in the last couple of minutes. Lord God, thank you that you haven't left us to our own devices in the darkness. Thank you that you've sent your son Jesus to be, or as, the light of the world that we need. And we pray that we'd be those who follow him, and so who don't walk in darkness, but who enjoy the light of life, both now and in eternity. Amen.